So first, I want to apologize. Unfortunately, I have to leave a little earlier than usual. About a quarter to a morning to I have to leave. I have a train to catch, and I found that speakers I've trained to catch are very popular speakers. I even know that sometimes they ordered a ticket for somebody in the middle of a speech just to get in a reservation to move him on. So I apologize. That's why I dubbed my voice early. I pushed it. I didn't have any other choice. Okay. We learned before Yom Tov, we always try to learn something inside of one of the important Bali Machshava, wanted to give us some sense of Yom Tov. This Sefer, we've done some from Sif Sechaim before. It's written by Chaim Friedlander. Chaim Friedlander was one of the great Bali Musa of the past generation. He unfortunately was Nifta quite young. He was probably Rav Dessler's biggest Talmud. He was the Mashgiach Panovich. A very, very clear way of giving over deep material, his own Rebbe's material. He gave over a lot. He was Nifta, man in his late 50s, and must have been the 80s sometime when he was Nifta, Chaval Dovden. But they've put out Sfarim from him, Sif Sechaim, three volumes on Yontif, two or three volumes on different sugyas in terms of Musa, like Bechir and things of that nature, Midas Tovas. They also have put out on Tefillah a lot. I don't know if they're translated in English, and I have no idea, but in Hebrew, his material is extremely important material. And we'll try to learn through one of his mamarim on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let's start. It's the Amud Tzadik Tes, the left-hand column. Kibnei Maron ubeskira achas. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah called Boy Olam over in the front of Kibnei Maron. On Rosh Hashanah, everyone passes through like Bnei Maron. It's not clear what the word Bnei Maron means. The Gemara itself has different pshatim. Basically, whatever it is, it's translated as they file past in single file, so to speak. Shenema Hayotza Yachad Libam. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu together makes their hearts, HaMevnel Kol Maseim, and understands all their Maisim. And the Gemara goes through Bnei Maron what it means. Some say it means like sheep that pass single file. Some say it's like there was a narrow alleyway with steps, one. Some say like soldiers. However it is, it's an expression of everyone filing past individually. Now, next page, on page Kuf. HaGemara Mosiva Perisha Mishnah. Oma Rabba Chanavi Echnan. So that's a Mishnah. The Gemara adds, V'chulon niskaren biskira achas. And yet, they are all seen with one sort of snapshot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one look of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one glance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it all in. So it's obvious that we're not trying to say that Hashem is so strong and powerful and all-seeing. There's something about the style in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging us that really there's almost a contradiction here. It says he focuses on each person individually, and that's three different explanations of Bnei Maron. We file by in single file, and each and every person gets attention, so to speak, gets an examination from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Rabbi Chana adds, but still, v'kula niskaren b'skira achas. Despite the fact that each one files by individually, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with one glance, takes it all in. Second paragraph. Divrei Gemara tzrichim bir. The Gemara really needs explanation. Harei l'chura k'bnei maron, shekolechot nidon l'chud. In the Gemara, it sounds as if he's adding and saying, not only do they go individually, but they're all taken in one shot. It really contradicts in terms of what it means. The Gemara sounds as if it's simultaneous, the Bnei Maron and the Skira Achas. What does that mean? So he goes through a possibility that he rejects, and we'll start with the next paragraph. Before we continue, I just want to give a little bit of an overview of what he's saying. we tend to think very, very, in a very linear way. There's a Yom HaDin, do I have more mitzvahs or more averis? And we reduce it to that. So anybody who's a little bit sophisticated understands there's no way you can count mitzvahs and averis. One, two, three. Two averis, you know, it's like little kids before they get the sense of value of money. So I have four monies. How many monies do you have? It doesn't make a difference whether it's quarters, $5 bills, whatever it is. It's monies. Yeah. You know, there's no sense of individual. So everybody understands that a person's mitzvahs, ma'isim tovim, are extraordinarily complex. And that's why when we talk about 50-50, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes in so many factors that a human being could never take in. How hard it was, how much is done out of road, how used am I doing it, so on and so forth. That everyone understands, and therefore we understand that there are different dimensions to what we do. He is going to talk about a different multi-dimensional facet of mitzvahs and averis, and a much bigger picture. Not only the complexity within us, but something completely out of it, and more in the effect that we have in the world, and we'll see. So basically, he's going to point out three different dimensions of a person's actions. Not internally, you know, how hard it is, how used am I to it, or something like that, but something very, very different. And that's the points that I'm mapping out, so I was going to say. The first one is focusing on the concept of Bnei Maro. Lefikach, so this is the bottom paragraph on Amud Kuf. Lefikach nivra adam yechidi. A person is created as individual. Lamedcha. It's to teach you that if somebody destroys Chas V'Shalom one nefesh in Kal Yisrael, it's as if he destroyed an entire world. Every single person must say that the world was created for me. Upirish Rashi, Chashuv ani ka'ola mali. I am an entire world. Lo etrades atzmin olam ve'achas minshach mimeno. I will not destroy myself with one avera and cause the laws of an entire world. So, the Mishnah says something fascinating. A person is obligated to say the world is created for me. Now, let's try to listen to the different sounds of that. It sounds strange to us because we interpret it the way we interpret it. What does that mean? What's created for me? I push everybody aside on the line and say, Rabbi Yisai, the world's about me. I don't, you know, you might have a different view, and that's fine. But it's about me. Everything's for me. What about me? It's a very, very narcissistic type of view. But that's not the intent of what the Mishnah is trying to say. A person, for instance, let's give an example. God forbid you have to go be Menachem Avel somebody. Or, thank God, we go to a wedding to Sameach somebody. And there's a lot of people. So what do we say to ourselves? There's so many people there, it's not going to make much of a difference. Somebody is going through a difficult time, and I reach out to him. I can say, you know what? It's marginal. I'm not going to have that much time, not too much, and so on and so forth. And that would be correct if you could sum everybody up in sort of one column, a common denominator. How many humans will be Nachum over you? Okay, so if 933 humans will Nachum over me, one human is a small percentage, a fraction of a percent. But it's not like that. Every single person has somewhat of a different relationship, somewhat of something else about his person that adds something. So if I look at myself as being unique, then I can never shunt responsibility because everybody else is doing it. Also, if I won't come, Rashi says, I am a complete world. Nobody else's world overlaps my world. And therefore, if I do something wrong and I don't make use of it, it will be lost forever. It's like a mosaic. Any one piece, it's not a packet, it's not a pile, it's a mosaic. And something missing is missing. So if instead of focusing it on what we deserve, you would focus it on what we are needed for, then every single person is needed for that point. I want to illustrate it with something that's brought, that's very common when you're learning, when you're studying Gemara. Our assumption when we learn Gemara is that the generations are in descending order when it comes to their ability, not ability in terms of IQ, but sort of the weight of what they have to say. And therefore, what the Mishnah says is not argued by the Gemara, what the Gemara says is not argued by later, and there's a general sense of deference and say, we can't argue with somebody before. But you will find things in learning that in a last generation, somebody said something that hadn't been said before, and it is something incredible. And there's an expression that's used for that. And it's called Makom Hinicho Avosai Lesgarbo. My forebears left me a place to find fulfillment. In other words, there is a point that every single person finds, and this is his place. I have my brother-in-law's brother is very chashid Tamzin, Moshe Kalbach. He's now at Yisrael, and he was one of Reb Aaron Kotler's last talmidim. Reb Aaron Kotler was a genius off the charts, and his talmidim in America didn't hold a candle to him. And he was very strong. If anyone tried to argue with him, he would, you know, knock them down in argument. But he came up with an answer for Rebbe Kiviger that Reb Aaron thought was emes. Rebbe Kiviger's kashas are very powerful. And he came up with an answer, and whenever he would say it, he would say, "This is Moshe Kalbach's Rebbe Kiviger." Like this, he's going down in history as this is the point that he added to learning. The every single person has those nekudos, and the person needs to sense it as a responsibility. Razal, the second paragraph of Kuf Aleph. Chiv was kol ha'odom lo yimah b'shvili nivroilam. They obligated every person to say the world was created for me. Pir shamir zuhu liyo is chodo b'chol eis me'akara zu, to constantly live with that awareness v'lichres al piya ki zehu erka amita shel adam. That's the real value of a person. The only way a person will actually get to know himself is if he lives with the axiom that I am different, and it forces me to ask myself what my differences are. I want to add the point so that we don't keep, in America we tend to be very narcissistic. I was reading somewhere a book, I don't know, a description of a book that somebody wrote that basically the theme of the book, or maybe even the title, is "You as You are Perfect." Basically, that means we just start collecting retirement benefits. I mean, you know, so what's the point of living? I mean, I'm perfect. I'm an angel. I am. That's silly. It's not only is it silly. Basically, it's counterproductive in the worst way possible. What it should say is, what I have in me is it can reach perfection because I have my potential. My perfection is reaching 100% of my potential, and your perfection is reaching 100% of your potential, and so on. And we can do that. So every person needs to constantly sense, fine, I'm floating along and doing what everybody else. Who am I? What am I uniquely supposed to contribute over here? So it forces me to look around and ask, what do I need to contribute to make this world full that no one else will be able to contribute? 100 of us are helping for a simcha. What is it that I will do that will add something that nobody else could do? And even though nobody else is doing it, and even though it's maybe hard, and maybe I feel, you know, that why am I always being called to do this, but I'm the only one that can do it, that it forces a person to keep asking himself that and doing that. Chazal teach us that every person is Adam Arisho. Adam Yochid Am Yuchad Asha Kol Oilam Niva Bishviloi. Okay, skip that next paragraph. Nishalas Hashela. So we have a question. Haim Ha'adam Ayochid Zokok La Olam Umloo Ki Kelim Avumilu Tafkidoi Oilam Godl Shavavari Vavar Sprias Gelsuk Tanais Shamarecha Shemai Matsum Hashem Shkom Imispa. There's a question that many secular people throw at religious people, and generically. And the question goes as follows. Look around. There are billions and trillions of galaxies, huge worlds, and that's what we know of, and who knows how much more there is. And we're a tiny speck, and humanity is a tiny, tiny portion of this world, and whoever it is that we believe we are, B'nai Yisrael and so on, is even tinier, or whoever religious group, do you really, really feel that you're the significant point in that incredibly overwhelming universe? It's haughty of you to feel that way. And it's sort of. And the answer is, so Rav Dessa says, Moiv Rebbe Agoyna Beleza Dessa Zatzal Hizbir. She'ela zu mekoyer mabat ha-gashmi shalano. She'roya be'iker es ha-kamus. The you know what? Where does this question come from? Let's give an example. I would use an example of a Martian coming down to this world, but it's a problem in the illustration I want to give. So I'm going to use not a Martian. We'll get Aborigines out of Australia. Somebody brings them to Europe, and he shows them the collider, the CERN collider. And he shows them a tunnel that I think is 26 kilometers, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know, diameter or length, whatever it is. With huge apparatus. With trillions and trillions of dollars invested in one way or another. And I explained to him that all of this is for particles that are so small that I can't even give the amount of the numbers, you know, the minus exponential for it, so that two of them should meet up in a nasty way and collide. That's what this whole thing is for. That was, you're crazy. You have all of that for two wretched little particles that can't be seen. You have something that takes up a half a country. It's impossible. The answer is, well, what are these two particles? The whole point of trying to understand what the world rests on, what makes it tick, is by trying to get a sense of what the little particles are made of, and everything else that's needed. So it's skewed, because in a very primitive way of thinking, I look at things. I look at you know, how many. But when you're trying to value something, I remember walking in. Actually, I was getting an engagement ring for my wife. We got engaged. So my sister-in-law, my future sister, went with me, and she had a little boy. And they put out a big tray of settings and jewels, whatever. And my sister-in-law turned to her son. I don't know, it was a little boy, 6, 7, something like that, and asked, Shmuel, why don't you pick out the one? So he picked out the biggest one. The one that looks like you get the nickel and dime, you know, that they, you know, those big ones. That's the one he picked out, because it's the biggest. My uncle and aunt deserve the biggest. And it's very hard to explain to him that, generally speaking, in gems, smaller tends to be more valuable. There are the big gems that are valuable, not in my budget. So we look around and say, there's so much world. Well, much is a meaningless phrase, Kapha Kodesh Baruch Hu. The question is, who is that sentient being that's going to take a look and say, oh my gosh, Marabu Masecha. That's what the whole world is created for. Everything is around that. And you know, you see sometimes you see in Yerushalayim, you'd see a lot of times, and I guess in Washington also, you'd have a dignitary come, present something, and you'd have this huge motorcade, this, that, everything else, for one person. And you say to yourself, well, you could have a half an army marching there. The answer is, we're not talking about quantity, we're talking about the valuable versus not valuable. So if a person were to understand that I have something that needs to be added to the world, and that's what's significant, then the question of the quantity around them is not a relevant question. When a person looks around him and he is overwhelmed with the realization of the divine, he gives meaning to those stars and to those galaxies, because the stars and the galaxies are a projection. They're a demonstration of something. And until the person doesn't look and say, wow, nothing happened. For that understanding, for that perception of emunah, it's worth building an entire bria. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted out of the creation is not much, many. He doesn't need it. It's not for him in any sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu focused the bria to have a person that will come up with an awareness, an understanding, a certain type of understanding. So everything revolves around the person, that the person make use of it, and so on. Me'irach kisa, im adam mol betafkido. If a person doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and not he doesn't do good, he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Hu pogea b'chol abriya kula. Ki noipu mimene yud zeh. He takes away. So when a person doesn't give the recognition of emunah that he needs to, or anything like that. So everything that was put into place to give him what he needs is wasted. So you'll ask me, there are many other people. Ulami says, just like the entire world cannot fulfill my function, what needs to be done with the entire world, the particular sense that I have of something cannot be replaced by somebody else. So five people walking by and admiring the world, each one has a little bit of a different thought, a little bit of a different idea, and each one is significant. I'm going to skim a bit, because the next he brings down here an extraordinary chazal. It says, if you see 600,000 Jews, which is in a certain sense Klal Yisrael, 600,000 Jews is the minimum amount for Klal Yisrael. You make a bracha. Now, what is the bracha that you make? So we would say, wow, Baruch Hashem, we create Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, we have so many people. But Makalos, Rivos, Amcha Yisrael, when all the Klal gets together, that's the type of expression we would expect to say. No, there's a bracha and Shema Malchus, and they actually said it in Eretz Yisrael at a demonstration. That's where you get that many people. There were 600,000 people at a certain demonstration, so they said it. The bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Chacham Harazim, the one who knows the secret of everyone, which means as follows. Reading minds, the hard one is to read one mind. If you don't know how to do one mind, reading many minds is not that more difficult. What really is incredible is, we think of reading minds as kind of, okay, what are you thinking now? 5 and 5 equals 10? That's what you're thinking of. The real difficulty is, I understand the way I understand. And you understand the way you understand, and he understands the way he understands. to understand like him, I have to be him. To understand like her, I have to be her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all these minds are subsets. It's like a master key with little keys. So we look around, 600,000 in a certain sense is the full complement of different mindsets, different people with a slightly different take on things and a slightly different understanding of things. Together, they're Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands each and every one for who he is and for what he is. And that's the incredible hispilus we have when we see the full complement of the variations of all the hues of Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompasses it all. So, and then I'm skipping the second paragraph. Just trying. Hamishos hadin mamshicha ulehagid gulosh Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This tells me the greatness of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Sheodem tovei kamat beis becholsem echad kum doim zelaze. When we strike coins, they all look exactly alike. Umelach malchelach Hakadosh Baruch Hu tovei asar mukosam verishin bein echad nol chaveru. Hakadosh Baruch Hu cast every person with the genetic material of Adam Rishon, and yet every single person is his own person with somewhat of a different understanding and take on things. So the first point is that every single person is judged as an individual. That's incredible. First of all, it means, yeah, we eat kosher, we keep Shabbos, isn't that? How much of that would you do if you weren't part of a tzibur? We all know when we go on vacation, we vacation. You know, we're a little bit different because we don't have that sense of being part of the group. So everybody is a little bit different. More than that, I do what everybody else in my kehillah does. But where is me? Where am I unique? And again, and we're talking about what I'm giving, not what I'm taking. What am I contributing to the tzibur that everybody else? Do you mean to say you're like everyone else? There's nothing about you that's unique that you can offer, that you can give. That sometimes it's hard, but it's subtle. You know, the way I do mitzvahs, the way I daven, if I daven sincerely, the way I learn, the people I learn, the people I reach out to, the way in which I reach out to people. Whatever it is, the first thing is that we are judged as individuals. And that means we need to ask ourselves, who am I? And did I do the things that I uniquely could do and was obligated to and so on? That's one point. The second point that he says here is, the Beskira Achas means HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, each one, as an individual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also asks, was I a team player? There are people that do good on their own, but they're not easy to work as a group. I was once, a long time ago, I went to Reb Nachum Alvasam in Eretz Yisrael. He was an old Chabad Chassid, a brother of someone that I knew well. And he was sitting Shiva, and very nice person. And there was something I noticed when I walked into his apartment. It was like a ground floor. Another apartment jutted into it. There was something strange about it. Somebody had built into it, which looked like it sort of had encroached on him. Something like that. And somebody made some remark to that. And he was a person who didn't want to talk about other people, whatever. But he said something along the lines. It says, we ask every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from Adam Ra and Shachan Ra and Chavar Ra. So he said, well, what do you mean Adam Ra and Shachan Ra? Adam Ra means I shouldn't run into any entanglements with a bad person. So a neighbor is entanglement. So he said, Faran mentioned, he says, there are people, they're good people, but they're not such good neighbors. In other words, to deal with him, you know, when you're in close proximity, it's not easy. So a person can be a good person on his own and do a lot on his own, but when you have to work with other people and you have to be part of a ktsiba and a klal, we might not do as well. So the Gemara is telling us, you are held accountable as an individual, and you're held accountable as a member of a tzibur. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is we go kibnei marad, and each and every single person is echad echad. Each person is brought out as an individual, and then we, as kulan seikem v'skiachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the tzibur as a whole and sees how are these people in terms of forming together a tzibur. One more thing that he speaks about. So that's a second dimension. And we'll go towards the end over here. On Kuf Dalet. And again, I apologize. I'm rushing. I'm so nervous. At the bottom of Kuf Dalet, he says, if you take a look in Zichronos, it's actually on Kuf Hei. Zichronos goes at the top of Kuf Hei. Ata Zeicher. You remember what was. Ata zeicher maise olam. You remember everything from ever it was. V'hu ha'ava, that's the past. Ata zeicher kol ha'mifal. You are aware of all that is done. And that's sort of a focus on the present. Hakol golav yadua. Everything is open and known. Ha'asid is going on the future. Why? What do we need it for? Every single year there's Rosh Hashanah. So every year gets its own accounting. What does it mean that Rosh Hashanah looks at the past and the future and the present? We have segments of a year and that should be enough. Why do we have it on all? So he says, and he explains that every single piece of a person has another dimension, and that is towards the future. Just like in the physical world, we have at least four dimensions, and time is that fourth dimension. And when I say there's a table here, that's not enough to tell me that if I walk into Mar Tabi, I have to say the table is here on this date. That fixes something. The world as a Kadosh Baruch Hu drew it is like a scan where the years pile up to form a much greater whole, and the concept that we call deiris, dur l'dur, generation means that there's a build up of some sort of, just like there's a cloud. And the present tense that includes many different people, there's a cloud of the big picture of many generations, which includes generation after generation. He brings over here an extraordinary point from the Mekubalim. He says like this. Let me see. He brings some Ramchal. I'm not going to go into it inside. It's quite a difficult piece, even if we had the time. Many of the things that we don't understand in the world, where somebody seemed to have been born into place just to go through difficulties, from beginning till the end, his life is difficult. And there's no rhyme or reason in the context of his personal life. And many other things that we don't understand, it's something that is part of a bigger picture in terms of generation after generation after generation. If we look back, and there were generations that the whole generation had horrendous conditions, just persecutions, just terrible grinding poverty, no ability to accomplish anything. That's, if we look at it at a slice, just a segment of time. But if you look at it in a bigger picture, that person, with his Mesiras Nefesh, gave birth to a child, to children, to children's children, that accomplished great things. And we think that this person accomplished great things, wow, he did himself. I once heard from somebody, and it was so such a powerful point. It was an old Yerushalayim person. He was saying about the Balei Tshuva, you know, in the 70s when it started, and I was saying, wow, because we have fantastic speakers, and they're great, and that people know how to reach out, and people know this, and techniques, and so on and so forth. He said, but you don't see 100 years ago his grandmother sobbing in a Tehillim that her child was leaving the fold. This is four generations later. Those tears bore fruit now. The picture, the real picture of the world is in four dimensions or many dimensions, but the dimension of time. There's a Yom Hadin for that. Sometimes we do things that may be short-term victories, long-term not victories, sometimes tremendous short-term sacrifices, but long-term meaning not my lifetime. My grandson, my great-grandson, Kal Yisrael's great-grandchildren. The Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah is an incredible Yom HaDin. It's a Yom HaDin that, first of all, focuses on every person as an individual and asks himself, who are you? What were you charged with? And did you accomplish what you were charged with? How much of what you did is just floating with everybody else? Then, having dealt with that, the question is, were you able to take what you have to offer and integrate it with other people, live with other people, and create something? And finally, what did your ma'asim look like in generations to come? You know, I might have done cut a corner here and thought I got away with it, but it has ramifications for generations. And everything we do, we also need to look at it from the perspective of time. It's an incredible Yom HaDin. It's also an incredible... on the other hand, it's uplifting to understand how much what we do. There's nothing insignificant, because if it's uniquely me, then it's an entire world. If it locks in well with other people, then my little insignificant piece is became part of a much bigger piece. And everything, and it's, you know, it's like I said, if you're the 10th person in a minyan, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at everything with the test of time, what you put in, the seed that you put in place, how will it play out over the days? Bez Hashem, we should be zeicha too, to find ourselves and know what we're supposed to do and be able to do it, to be able to integrate ourselves with the klal, and to be able to accomplish together as a group, and that our doros and that our ma'asim should have the power to bring fruition to the doros to come. Zecher to good yar in all dimensions, Bez Hashem. Okay.
Go ahead.
People interested in a microphone?
I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.